Welcome to SCOTUSCast, Notice and Comment Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 9, 2015, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Perez v. Mortgage Bankers Association, a case which concerned the Administrative Procedure Act, or APA. The question was whether the rule announced by the D.C. Circuit in its earlier case, Paralyzed Veterans of America v. D.C. Arena LP, was consistent with the APA. Under the Paralyzed Veterans Rule, an agency must use the APA's notice and comment procedures when it wishes to issue a new interpretation of a regulation that deviates significantly from one the agency has previously adopted. In an opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court held by a vote of 9-0 that the Paralyzed Veterans Rule conflicted with the text of the APA and improperly imposed procedural requirements on agencies beyond those authorized by the statute. The Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan joined Justice Sotomayor's opinion in full, and Justice Alito joined it except for Part 3B. Justice Alito also filed an opinion concurring in part and concurring in the judgment. Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas filed opinions concurring in the judgment. The judgment of the D.C. Circuit was reversed. To discuss the case, we have Andrew Hesick, who is a professor of law at the University of Utah College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Hesick.
Perez versus Mortgage Bankers Association is one of the major administrative law cases this term. The case presents the question of what procedures an agency must use to make a substantive change to an existing interpretation that it rendered through an interpretive rule. In particular, if the agency wants to change the interpretation, must it use notice and comment rulemaking, which takes more procedural steps than interpretive rulemaking? Or can the agency simply just issue a new interpretive rule? The D.C. Circuit said that the agency had to use notice and comment to change its interpretation. The Supreme Court reversed. It said that under the Administrative Procedures Act, an agency does not need to use notice and comment rulemaking to change the interpretation. Instead, it can just issue a new interpretive rule. Okay, so the dispute in Perez involved the status of mortgage loan officers under the Fair Labor Standards Act. These officers are professionals who evaluate and authorize mortgages. That act entitles workers to minimum wages and overtime compensation, but it has an exemption for executive, administrative, or professional employees. Now, that's pretty vague. So in 2004, the Department of Labor promulgated a regulation through notice and comment providing a more precise definition, setting things like a minimum salary and prescribing the basic types of activity, like non-manual labor, to qualify for the exemption. Now, it's not exactly clear whether a mortgage loan officer qualifies for the exemption even under this regulation. So in 2006, the Department of Labor issued an interpretive rule stating that mortgage loan officers did qualify for the exemption. Before going on, it would make a little bit of sense to give some background about agency rules. Agencies can promulgate different types of rules. The most commonly known type of rules are legislative rules. These are the rules that have the force and effect of laws. In that way, they are just like statutes. Because they are laws, these rules are binding on the courts just like other laws. And under the APA, agencies must follow at least notice and comment procedures to promulgate legislative rules. The agency must publish notice, receive comments, consider and respond to these comments in the final rule. Now, interpretive rules don't have the force and effect of law. They instead set forth the agency's interpretation of some other law. So, for example, imagine a law says people must drive a reasonable speed in neighborhoods. An agency might issue an interpretive rule saying, "We, the agency, understand this law to mean that no one should drive over 30 miles per hour in a neighborhood." Unlike legislative rules, interpretive rules do not constitute the law. They just reflect the agency's position about how a law should be interpreted. So a court has the power to interpret the law differently. Now, there's an important exception to this rule, though, and that's that agency interpretations of their own regulations are entitled to binding deference, if that interpretation is reasonable. This is called our deference, A-U-E-R, our deference. It is analogous to Chevron deference, under which courts defer to agency interpretations of statutes rendered in legislative rules. But instead of courts deferring to agency interpretations of statutes, the court defers to agency interpretations of their own regulations. Our deference does not apply to agency interpretations of statutes rendered through interpretive rules. It only applies to agency interpretations of their own regulations. Agencies can issue interpretive rules interpreting statutes, but those interpretations just aren't binding. Another significant difference between legislative rules and interpretive rules relates to the procedures for enacting those rules. The APA explicitly exempts agencies from following notice and comment when issuing interpretive rules. Agencies can simply render them. Okay, so back to the Perez case. In 2006, the Department of Labor issued an interpretive rule interpreting its regulation to mean that mortgage loan officers qualify for the exemption under the Fair Labor Standards Act. In 2010, though, the department switched positions. It issued a new interpretive rule saying that mortgage loan officers do not qualify for the exemption. That means that they get minimum wage and overtime rights. Note that because the interpretation was of an agency regulation, that 2010 interpretation was entitled to our deference. The D.C. Circuit ruled that the 2010 interpretive rule was improper based on an earlier decision in Paralyzed Veterans of America versus D.C. Arena. That case held that if an agency wants to make a substantive change to an interpretation provided by an interpretive rule, the agency has to use notice and comment. So the first interpretation that the agency renders can be by interpretive rule, but any subsequent interpretation, a change to that interpretation, has to be by notice and comment. In Perez, the Supreme Court rejected the D.C. Circuit's approach. It explained that the APA explicitly exempts interpretive rules from notice and comment requirements, and it makes no exception for interpretive rules that seek to change the interpretation contained in an earlier interpretive rule. The court also pointed out that courts can't impose additional procedures beyond those required by the APA. Congress can impose additional procedures, and agencies can impose additional procedures on themselves, but courts can't. And that is exactly what the Paralyzed Victim Doctrines did. It required agencies to go through the procedure of notice and comment when it wanted to change an interpretation of its regulation instead of just issuing a new interpretive rule. So that's the majority in the Perez case. Pretty straightforward. All nine justices agreed with the basic reasoning and the outcome. The more interesting stuff is in the separate opinions. There are three of them. They're all concurrences in the judgment by Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. I'm going to focus on the opinions of Justices Scalia and Thomas because Justice Alito's opinion is short and simply states agreement with the other two. Okay, so first up is Justice Scalia. He agreed that the APA doesn't allow the Paralyzed Veterans Doctrine, but he sympathized with what the D.C. Circuit was trying to do, rein in the power of administrative agencies. He said, nothing in the APA suggests that courts should defer to agency interpretations of their regulations. To the contrary, the APA says that courts should determine the meaning of agency rules. So when courts defer to agency interpretations of their rules, they give agencies more power than the APA contemplates. That means that agencies can essentially make law without going through the notice and comment procedure. So in the worst case scenario, an agency could write one vague regulation through notice and comment and then just issue interpretive rules and make law in that way. The Paralyzed Victims Doctrine sought to combat this broad agency power. But, Justice Scalia said, the way the doctrine sought to do it just isn't allowed under the APA, and two wrongs don't make a right. Instead of the Paralyzed Victims Doctrine, he said what should happen is that the courts should get rid of our deference. Justice Thomas also concurred in the judgment. While Justice Scalia's attack on our deference was that it was inconsistent with the APA, Justice Thomas's attack was that our deference is unconstitutional. He gave two reasons. The first is that one of the functions of Article III courts is to provide an impartial forum to interpret and apply the laws. Our deference undermines that function, he says. It results in a political body, an agency, interpreting the laws and binding the courts. And because the agency is a political body, it does not have the same protections as courts to ensure impartiality, like salary guarantees and life tenure. The second reason he gave for unconstitutionality is that another function of the federal judiciary is to check the other branches of the federal government. And the main way it does that is by exercising independent judgment in enforcing the law. And deferring to agency interpretations undermines that function because it lets agencies promulgate the rules and dictate how they are going to be enforced in court. Now, although only three justices challenged our deference, it's worth taking the challenge pretty seriously because the majority did not reaffirm our or really respond to Justice Scalia's and Thomas's arguments. So the door is not closed on challenging our, and the future will no doubt hold some sort of interesting arguments on it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.